Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we talk about your word today, I ask you to bless us. I ask you to open our hearts, our minds to the word of God. And may you really give us some revelation from your word today where we can do great things for the kingdom of God. And I praise you and thank you for using all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to start today in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's use the NLT. I've read both of them over so many times, but they both say the same thing. The NLT, as usual, is usually just a little bit easier to interpret. But let's see what it says in Hebrews 10:1. The old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. How would you like to go to church once a year in Jerusalem and have to take an offering, like either a couple of little doves or maybe a calf or a lamb or whatever, depending on your prosperity, and you had to go there and it had to be killed for your sins? I mean, the other night when Cheryl and I was watching this movie about Abraham, Abraham was trying to teach his son, Isaac, about the sacrifice. And as we watched that, we watched little Isaac raise up this beautiful little lamb. And he loved it. And he carried it in his arms. And he took care of it. And then the day came that he had to sacrifice it for his sins. Oh, that broke his heart. I mean, you know, can you imagine yourself if you were a child and or even an adult and you raised up something that you love so much and then you have to kill it, cut its throat, and watch its blood pour out for you? You know, that's what they used to have to do. Every year they had to do that. I can only imagine, you know, how that would hurt the heart of a little child. Now, if it was just an animal, you know, that you just saw pulled in there and cut its throat, it wouldn't have that kind of an impact on you. But I think that the reason they would let their children raise up these little animals to let them realize how important the blood of Jesus was going to be one day in the future. Because, you know, that was the ultimate sacrifice. Now then, I mean, God really put Abraham to the test, as we will see here if we go down through here. But can you imagine, you know, God doing what he done to Abraham? Well, we'll go on down through here and we'll read some of these things and then we'll talk about them. It says here, then verse 2 says, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifice would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Now, that would be wonderful if we could have done that back in that day, but they couldn't. But technically speaking, we do live in that age today where that does come to pass. But a lot of people never realize that when they confess their sin, it's a one-time deal. A lot of people never realize what the word redemption means. And when they come to Jesus, let's say you had been a murderer, you had been an abortionist. Say you're like the lady down here in Dallas that owned those abortion clinics and was responsible for 30,000 abortions. Can you imagine killing 30,000 babies? I can't even go there with you. But when that woman, when somebody finally prayed for her and the Lord convicted her and she came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, when she was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, how many of those 30,000 babies was she forgiven for killing? All of them. Is that some powerful blood? Yeah. I'm sure that the average person never gets that picture of how awesome that is, that the blood of Jesus is that powerful. Now, a lot of people that I've known would have not done anything near as severe as this woman has. I've just seen women that have had one or two abortions themselves, and then they have either got saved later or they have repented of their sin. But they can, every time you would talk to them about something, they say, well, I committed this terrible crime. What was it? I aborted a child when I was 25. And I said, well, have you asked forgiveness? Many, many, many times I have asked forgiveness. Well, you know, after she asked forgiveness the first time, the rest of them, God, don't know what you're talking about. Isn't that amazing that we can see God forgive us for these things, but we have trouble forgiving ourselves for the stupid things we do. But see, when we ask the Lord, we need to realize the blood of the Son of God, it washes us totally, completely clean and pure, doesn't it? You can't get any better than that. And how many times do you have to ask forgiveness? Only one for each individual thing. When you're redeemed by the blood, when you get saved, it makes no difference if she had killed 30,000 or been responsible for 30,000 children. When she was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, she was clean as if she had never committed a single abortion. Now then, from this day forth, as she goes on forward, she's supposed to stop being an abortionist, and she did. But if you commit sin of any kind, whatever it might be, after you were redeemed by the blood, now what do you have to do? Let's say that you tell a little lie. When God says, I hate liars, let's say that a year later, and of course, I don't think it takes that long for most of us, but let's say a year later, you commit a little sin of lying. Was that covered under the redemption? No, it was not. You were redeemed from everything you'd done in the past. But now then, from right here forward, if you tell a lie or you sin anyway, what have you got to do to be forgiven for that? You have to confess it. You have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I told a lie. Now then, Lord, if you will help me, I promise to never do that again. Will he wash that sin away? Yes, he will. His blood will wash that thing away. And he tells you now to go on. You're forgiven. You're washed in the blood. Well, what if you come to him tomorrow and say, Lord, that was such a terrible lie. Would you please forgive me again? See, you don't have to do that, do you? It's only one time. I don't understand. You have no idea, being a pastor, how many people I deal with that once they have repented of a sin, they come and say, when I say, well, you know, especially if they're sick and afflicted, and we're trying to get all their sins repented of, and I say, well, have you repented of all sin? I have repented for everything. Every day I repent, all day long, every day. Well, see, you're not walking in faith. See, so that's a sin. If you're walking in faith, when you ask God to forgive you for one time, for one sin, it's over, isn't it? That's all it takes. You don't have to ask a second time. One time's all it takes. So we need to realize how powerful this blood is, that we are purified for all time because of the blood of Jesus. Now, verse 3 and 4. But just the opposite happens. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That's exactly right. The bulls and goats, they cannot take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus can take away sins. Verse 5 and 6. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, you did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings, but you have given me a body so that I may obey you. No, you were not pleased with animals burned on the altar or with other offerings for sin. If God was not pleased with all these offerings, then why in the world did he require it? Where did this law come from? From God. Why did God require these things to be done if it couldn't take away our sin? Because he wanted to show us a picture of what was going to happen in the future. He had to show us something that would get our attention to let us know that it was going to require a blood sacrifice for you to be cleansed. In other words, I think about when Solomon was dedicating the new temple. I think about the thousands of sheep and the thousands of oxen that they sacrificed at the temple. I mean, the blood must have been running knee deep. You know, I mean, I don't remember. I haven't read that in a while, so I can't tell you the exact number. Somebody in here may remember the exact number, but I forget how many thousands of sheep he sacrificed. I forget how many thousands of oxen he sacrificed. I mean, I worked in a locker plant for my uncle when I was about 14 years old for just one summer. And I'm telling you, my job was whenever that steer or cow or whatever walked through that hallway coming into the plant, As soon as it got past that last gate, my job was to shoot them right between the eyes with a 22. That was my job. And I mean, you have no idea. I became hardened to this because every time that little calf would walk in, at first it was kind of hard for me to do. But by the time the summer's over, piece of cake. I could kill you in a heartbeat, not even think about it. They walk in, I just pick up the gun, point it right at them, shoot it. I got to where I didn't even have to aim hardly. I just put the gun right over the point right between their eyes and bam. And their legs would fall out from under and they'd fall down. And then my next job was to run over there and cut their throat and let the blood pour out on the ground. The first time I had to cut their throat and all that blood goes gushing out, you think, wow, by the time you've done it all summer long, you're used to being in blood. But you think, see, back in those days, I didn't even know these things were in the Word of God. I didn't know that. But I think about what it was just that summer working there, killing all those cows, several of them every day, yet what it would be like to be at the temple when they sacrificed those thousands. I can't even imagine how much blood must have run there, huh? But it must have been awesome. But God's trying to show us something, that sin requires a payment. And something has to pay for that sin. And thank God it was an animal. No, you were not pleased with animals burned on the altar or with other offerings for sin. Verse 7 and 8. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures. Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or grain offerings or animals burned on the altar or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Verse 9 and 10. Then he added, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all time. Now this is good news. But what a sacrifice. I mean, we literally forget what Jesus did for us on that cross. I mean, we forget that Jesus bore our sin so we don't have to sin no more. I stand in awe when I read the scriptures in their entirety.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Command the Beast to Leave, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you pre- and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.